1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together we're Summer Mode.
Summer Mode?
Summer Mode.
Summer Mood, Summer Mode.
Summer Mood, Summer Mode, Summer Frog, Summer Toad.
Well, that was a question. Did you say summer mood or summer mode?
I said mode.
Oh, okay. So what is summer mode?
Summer mode is the mode that you go in the summer.
And that includes?
That includes things for me, like wondering how long I can go without shaving my legs and still wear things that show my legs.
And I like that that's first.
Yeah. No, like that is primary concern in summer.
Okay. Okay.
So that's summer mode, Shannon. Constant low level worry about how long it's been since I've shaved my legs. That is a fact.
Do you think worrying and thinking about the length of your leg hair makes it grow at a different pace than if you weren't thinking about it?
Good question. Good question. No, is the answer. But it definitely makes me feel worse about it.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Well, it's good to be aware.
Yeah.
Good to be conscious.
Summer mode, Shannon. Also, constant low level worry about whether or not I'm getting a sunburn.
Yep. That's good.
Also, constant low level worry about how bad I smell because I sweat constantly every time I leave the apartment.
So it sounds like summer mode for Shannon is mostly worry.
Yeah. No, that's very real.
Do you enjoy summer?
No, I don't like summer at all. Oh.
You seemed excited about summer mode.
Yeah, well, I guess I was just trying to like undercut the deep despair,
that you have.
Comes with the summer for me.
It seems like you have inverse seasonal depression.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the winter either.
Okay.
I like it. There's about 4 days of the year
that you like
when New York is an acceptable temperature to me. And it's when it's dry.
Uh-huh.
When it's sunny.
Yeah.
And it's like 68 to 72 degrees.
It's a small window.
A very small window.
Today was close to that.
I didn't get outside today.
Oh, well, you wasted one of your good days.
I know. It's like, why do I even live here?
Yeah.
What is summer mode, Scott?
As far as low-level worries, it's...
Or just like normal people things, too. You can say what your normal people things are.
Well, I do worry about, so I mostly wear t-shirts in the summer and I worry about them not being wrinkly because I want to have like nice looking t-shirts, not just t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's not a concern of yours?
No.
Why are we here?
We do Song Salad.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what's that?
It's a short song that we write about a random topic in a random style of music.
And we get those random genres and topics by spinning the salad spinner,
yes,
which is a suggestion from you, our loyal listener.
Yes, it is.
On a noise or phrase or impression or something ridiculous for us to do. And this week's salad spinner suggestion comes from JD at Jeffrey D. Writes on Twitter. And he says, salad spinner suggestion, the censor working the Tony Awards rushing to bleep Robert De Niro. Topical.
Topical. So if you didn't see the Tony Awards this past week, you probably don't listen to this podcast. So
right.
It's fine. Robert De Niro did a boo-boo.
He did a boo-boo.
Well, he did a purpose boo-boo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did a ouch. he hurt someone
stab,
else.
Stab.
Yeah, a stab.
A shiv.
And he swore like several times.
He said F Trump twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did get bleeped on the television.
So our salad spinner goal is to be the censor rushing to bleep him.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready. I'll do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Tony Awards, another night, another show. Here we go. Love all these celebrities. Ooh, here comes Robert De Niro. I loved Meet the Fuck.
Spin.
Baroque pop. Boom, boom, boom. I was going for like a dirty pop kind of thing, but it didn't really work.
I thought you were going for
it's the jitterbug.
doesn't make any sense.
Baroque pop.
What
sometimes
the hell?
Called baroque rock.
Ooh.
And if it ain't baroque,
don't do it.
Don't do it. It is a fusion genre that combines rock music with particular elements of classical music.
Mm.
It emerged in the mid-1960s as artists pursued a majestic orchestral sound and is identifiable for its appropriation of Baroque compositional styles, meaning contrapuntal melodies and functional harmony patterns, and dramatic or melancholic gestures.
Oh.
Harpsichords figure prominently, while oboes, French horns, and string quartets are also common.
Excellent.
Fun. So, Baroque music, just to say what it is.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
The most famous Baroque composer is Johann Sebastian Bach. You may know his piano pieces or his, well, harpsichord, I guess, or his like cello suite that gets played a lot, or his cantatas and chorales. And he wrote a lot of liturgical music. But
so music for the church. Meaning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe let's pick like a very emblematic Baroque harpsichord piece just to play like a tiny little clip of it, and then we can just so people kind of know what we're where the baseline is, where we're starting at.
Let's play a little bit of a Bach prelude and fugue on the harpsichord.
Ooh.
Here it is.
All right.
That was that.
That was that.
Prelude, fugue, in C minor.
Cool.
So pop and rock music from the 60s and 70s using Baroque instruments and compositional techniques, meaning those fugal elements, functional harmony, meaning the way that the different lines in the fugues interact with each other to create chords.
Is it dysfunctional harmony if it's not functional harmony?
No, it should be. But
what
is
it if it's not functional harmony?
It's just not functional harmony.
Okay, no, but then you should call it dysfunctional harmony.
You should.
Yeah.
So any harmony that's not functional harmony is dysfunctional
harmony.
And then contrapuntal melodies, we've talked about this before, but just meaning like melodies that move in different directions at the same time.
Yes. If you want to check out more contrapuntal chatter, you can see our episodes. I think we had
we need to create another spinoff podcast called Contrapuntal Chatter. It'll be a hit.
But we have a couple episodes. There is a medieval music episode.
Renaissance
Wait. Music episode.
Yes, Renaissance music.
Yes, there's a Renaissance music episode where we talk about counterpoint.
Yep. And we talk about counterpoint versus homophonic music in our Gregorian chant episode.
Right.
Adele Who Brings Us Cakens.
Yes. One of my favorite episodes, Adele Who Brings Us Cakens.
It's so fun.
Yeah. So we've also kind of heard this sound just kind of incidentally a little bit.
Recently,
yeah. In the Bubblegum Pop episode.
Yes.
Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
For
I
sure.
I was like, good, I didn't mess that up.
And that was just our choice to throw a harpsichord in there, because that's not in all Bubblegum Pop, but it was the same era, 60s and 70s, where people were doing this kind of thing. So
yeah. It's the kind of darker, moodier sound that we heard, like in the Partridge Family one, the like, I think I love you.
But what am I so afraid of?
Yes. The verse specifically there is kind of like a little bit like dark and moody and like angsty.
Yeah And it is said that the use of these Baroque elements and instruments was intended to be a more serious and mature outgrowth of rock music. So maybe that's why these the use of these instruments also quote coincided with like darker sounds and themes, maybe. But also, like we mentioned, giving it a majestic and orchestral sound using the strings and winds and such.
So what are some songs that people might know? Mamas and the Papas, Monday Monday mm-hmm. is a good one.
Yep. The Beatles' In My Life has what sounds like a Baroque harpsichord solo on it.
Oh, that one's
the
so
instrument
sweet.
Was actually a piano recorded on tape at half the speed and then sped up to the actual tempo to make it sound brighter and more piercing like a harpsichord.
Is that easier than just going and finding a harpsichord somewhere?
If you did a lot of drugs, mm-hmm. which would you rather do? Take the time to record something at half speed and then speed it up to see what it sounds like or find a harpsichord?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Here's your answer. Walk Away Renee by The Left Bank from 1966 has reporter Matthew Guarini saying that it is the quintessence of Baroque pop, citing its elegantly jangling harpsichord.
Well, I think that sounds like the perfect example song then.
Here is Walk Away Renee by The Left Bank.
The Left Banky.
The Left Banksy.
There's an E at the end of bank for no reason.
Cool. That same reporter, Matthew Guarini.
It's very hard to say.
Speculates that the harpsichord may have been desirable at this time for its buzzing, stinging timbre, which suited the treble-heavy pop soundscape of the 1960s. So that means the higher tones.
I am going to do a little bit more research to try to find some information about lyrics, but I'm going to guess that it's going to be like a lot of the pop music in the 60s, mm-hmm. which was about love.
Love.
And like, because it was the more like darker and serious side of love, probably losing love.
Oh. And then I guess the only other thing to say is that this music went out of fashion in the late 1970s. The quaintness of Baroque pop and the use of violins and classical guitar became the target of a lot of parody in music at the end of the psychedelic era. So it kind of went out of style.
But there was a slight revival in the 90s and 2000s with Baroque pop enjoying a revival with bands like The Divine Comedy.
And I wonder, even in like songs like Bittersweet Symphony,
yeah,
you know, if that counts as sort of like classical pop, you know, bridging the gap a little bit and bringing those elements back into fashion again.
Yeah, maybe we're gonna kick off a new revival.
Maybe
the 2018 revival of Baroque pop.
That's what we've been waiting for.
I know,
that's what this country needs.
Just uniting everyone behind the Baroque pop banner.
That's actually what Robert De Niro said, and they just misheard him. He went out and he said Baroque pop! And they were like, censor it!
What a perfect segue.
Yes.
Into the salad spinner.
Yep.
For our topic.
Go for it, censor.
All right. Thank God we're just winding up. Now, these things run so late. Oh, cool. They got De Niro. Got De Niro? Oh, I wonder if he's gonna. Is he gonna? No!
Slow motion run to Beep. The keyboard.
Oh, I got there.
Spin.
Yeah.
You got there.
Got there. The Anglican Service Book.
The Anglican Service Book. Tell us about it, Shannon.
It's an edition in traditional language of the Book of Common Prayer of the Episcopal Church of the United States. The book was adapted from the 1979 version, as well as other sources such as the Anglican Missal, the Sarum Missal, and the Book of Occasional Services. It's like a odd jobs listing. The Book of Occasional Services. The rubrics of the 1979 book allow for such a work without providing all of the necessary texts.
What does that mean?
No idea. The book was offered to facilitate worship in the traditional language of Anglicanism.
That's a good word.
Anglicanism. The Anglican Service Book was published by the Church of the Good Shepherd in Rosemont, Pennsylvania. The book is principally used by Anglo-Catholics. And that's it.
That's it.
Oh, but there is a digitized text of the Anglican Service Book. Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Full text of the ASB, as it's called.
Is it? Yep, I guess it is. Okay, so...
Chapter 1.
So, I'm going to... Everyone, please be seated. Please be quiet.
We're going to have a full Anglican service on Song Salad today.
I mean, we kind of could. So it seems like the Book of Common Prayer is, you know, okay, so if you haven't ever been to a church before, like, let's assume base zero knowledge.
Yeah.
You go to the church.
Yes.
You walk into the building.
Is the building the same as the church?
No.
Oh.
Because you can desanctify. The church is wherever, you know, like two or more are gathered in his name or whatever. Sure. You can have a church name? In your basement, you know?
Okay.
So anyway, you walk into the church, you go into the building, you sit down in a pew. In front of you, in the pew,
yes,
is like a little box.
Yeah. A little shelf.
A little shelf.
Yeah.
And in the shelf box is some books.
Some books.
One
Harry
of them.
Potter.
Yep, 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 yep.
Handmaid's... No, it's not
Dune.
A book.
Handmaid's Girl. Tale is a book.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just a Hulu thing.
No, it was adapted. It's a Margaret
They're
Atwood
all
book.
All adapted.
Oh, my God.
Jurassic Park.
Great. Also another adaptation.
Mm-hmm. All the hits at church.
All the church hits. And then next to the little free library that's there, there's...
Take a book, leave a book.
Yes. There's a hymnal.
Yes.
Which has all the music that you sing. And like someone
Limp
will stand
Bizkit.
Up. What?
Limp Bizkit.
No, they're
Mouth.
Wafers. They're not Limp Bizkits. They're wafers.
Oh, sorry.
They're communion wafers.
And not Smash Mouth.
No. Well, you do smash them in your
you
mouth.
Smash the wafers in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Smash a Limp Bizkit in your mouth at church. Join us.
And someone will stand up during the service and they will tell you which page to turn to for the song to sing.
Yeah.
And then there's also a service book.
Yes.
Usually. I guess not always, because you don't always need to follow along.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do follow along, there's a book that kind of has like all the prayers and all the things that the priest or the pastor is saying, and you can kind of just like go along with it. So that's this
for Anglicans.
For Anglicans.
/ Episcopalians?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it says it's the traditional language of the Book of Common Prayer of the Episcopal Church.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Church are very closely related. And
I do not know the difference.
I'm not going to... Well, the Anglican Church was the church that King Henry...
Anglo? King?
Split off from the Catholic Church because he wanted to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Church was like, that's a no-no. And
right,
he was like,
right.
I'm the king. I'll do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. And then he made the Anglican Church.
He's the king of Anglica.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Uh-huh.
And then the Episcopals... So then the king of Episcopa...
Yeah.
He was like... I want my own church too.
Yeah.
No, I think Episcopal is just like a descendant of the Anglican
I've always
church.
Heard that Episcopal is like Catholic light.
Kind of. My uncle's an Episcopalian minister.
Oh. You want to call him?
No. He is an expert. He's a lovely man. It would be just so much legwork to get him to this point of needing to explain this to us.
True.
Like why we have to record him. Sorry, Uncle Dave. Maybe we'll interview you next time I see you. But anyway, they are in some way related. And this book, now that I'm in the full text version of the book, it's like everything. So it's like the daily, the morning prayer, the noonday prayer, seasons of the year, holy days, Ash Wednesday liturgy, Palm Sunday liturgy, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday.
I guess that's what it means by like the book of occasional services, right? Yeah. It's like holidays. Yes. Those are specific occasions.
Yeah. So I'm going to click Maundy Thursday.
Maundy Thursday?
Yeah.
What's Maundy Thursday?
It's between Ash Wednesday and Good Friday.
That's too many days to keep track of. Just let me have a day.
But it's like a thing.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Well, it is.
What's Maundy?
I'll tell you because it's the first sentence right here. This day receives its name from the mandatum, or the new commandment given by our Lord. At the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet and commanded them to love and serve one another as he had done. The service begins with a festal character.
Ooh.
White vestments are worn. The Gloria in Excelsis is sung. Additional candles may be lit. The service has been called a burst of sunshine in the gathering gloom. Because, you know, Easter services are pretty, like, gloomy.
Yeah.
We at once remember the joy of the institution of the Eucharist, the love and service which Jesus lived and taught, the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the betrayal leading to the crucifixion. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
And now a song from Maundy Patinkin. To celebrate Maundy Thursday.
You're the worst person. What is this? This is a book.
It's a book.
It's a book.
And we're going to write a Baroque pop song about it.
We'll write a Baroque pop song. This is going to be, I think this is a good topic for a Baroque pop song.
In what way?
That it feels like it can be a little bit retro, you know?
Way retro.
Way back super to retro.
Biblical times.
Back to Anglican times. Yeah.
That's what if you're like, hey guys, I redid my apartment. I like did this interior decorating in a retro style. I really want you to check it out. And everyone's like, cool. And you come over and it's just like stone and hay.
And like hay. I thought you were gonna say like gold gilt and tapestries.
No, like pre that.
It's
like
peasant.
Like where retro. Jesus was born in the manger. Like,
got it.
Retro.
Got it. Well, I'll do some Pinteresting and see if we can pick up some good interior design tips for manger.
For biblical retro.
Yeah. And then let's start composing and writing.
Let's do it. I'll put a band together.
Cool.
Sweet. So you read the whole thing?
The whole book.
The whole book, yeah.
I did.
How was it?
Riveting.
Riveting?
Riveting.
What was your favorite part?
Oh gosh, I mean,
too many to choose from.
The baptism is just always a really lovely ceremony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because there's a baby in it.
Yeah.
And babies are so funny.
What about adult baptisms?
They do have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as cute.
Not as cute, way more wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
So I didn't read the whole book.
What?
I know. It was a grift. Gotcha. But I did read some more about the Episcopal Church. Why does anybody let me talk about anything? Like,
what
why
do you mean?
I just like, I'm like, I kind of know half of a fact about this. I'm just going to.
The whole podcast.
I know it is the whole
That's
podcast.
Both of us.
I'm just going to talk out of my ass for a while. So yeah. I was right. But the fuller truth is way more interesting. So.
And there we have the title of Shannon Deep's autobiography.
I was right, but the fuller truth is way more interesting. So the Episcopal Church is a like subgenre of the Anglican Church.
The Anglican Church.
But it is still considered to be part of the Anglican Communion.
Okay.
So I think they do identify still as Anglican in some way.
Gotcha.
The reason that the Episcopal Church happened, basically, is it was the Anglican Church in America post-revolution, because the Anglican priests had to swear fealty to the King of England.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, we don't do that here anymore. Oops.
Right, right,
so they
right.
became a kind of separate denomination.
Yes, makes sense.
Yes.
And what, do you know, I'm putting you on the spot. Where does the word Episcopal come from?
Well, an epistle. You know what an epistle
yes,
is?
Yes, it's related.
I would imagine. You don't think it's related to the word epistle?
I don't know. English is weird.
I mean, I'm sure it is. Okay. So here we go.
Mm.
Episcopal comes from the word for bishop in Greek and Latin.
Ah.
Episcopos, Episcopus, Episcopalis, and then Episcopal.
Hmm.
And then an epistle.
Not related. I was right.
No, I mean, I think it is related. No?
Well, I was right, but the truth is way more interesting.
The truth is way more interesting. Anyway. Okay, cool. So it means bishop.
Bishop. Great.
But an epistle can be like a holy communication or a letter.
Sure.
Yeah. Like you can write, like, anyway.
Anyway.
The Episcopal Church describes itself as Protestant yet Catholic.
Protestant yet Catholic.
I love it. Just a little sousson of Catholicism in there. And it's like actually,
fusion food.
Fusion religions. We're white with a little more white.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually one of the more liberal churches in the U.S. It during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, it was part of the social gospel movement. And in the 60s and 70s, it like took a really kind of decidedly liberal track. It opposed the death penalty. It supported the civil rights movement and affirmative action.
That's great for our genre.
I know.
Yeah.
Some of the priests were known for marching with like Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh,
The church calls for full legal equality of gay and lesbian people.
Wow.
And they have actually allowed the blessing of same-sex marriages within the church.
Cool.
Though I don't know that they've, I think they haven't been able to update the Book of Common Prayer with like same-sex specific ceremonies.
Not that hard.
Well,
I'll write it for you today.
Well, listen, due to the complex process of editing or making additions to the prayer book, the BCP still describes marriage as being the union of a man and a woman.
You know, I was going to bring this up before about editing and adding to the prayer books for these religions. Like this one says that this book was published by the Church of the Good Shepherd in Rosemont, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Why do they get to decide?
God told them.
And then everyone else was like, yeah, I guess he did.
I guess so.
Okay.
I don't know.
So that's what I mean about like updating these things. Like, can we just go to Rosemont and be like, add this, put he twice.
I don't know.
Anyway, food for thought.
Yeah. It also ordains women and LGBT people to the priesthood.
Great.
The diaconate and the episcopate.
Mm.
Despite opposition from a number of other member churches. So, I mean, I think it's it's the official position of the church. I think you will probably find some variety of how accepting people are within it. But
such is life.
But I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great.
And like as early as 2003, the first non-celibate openly gay person was ordained as a bishop in this church.
I'm sorry.
What?
Just I'm imagining him being very vocal about how gay and non-celibate he is.
That is such a weird way to describe a person.
I know.
It's like you don't ever have to go around and being like, I'm straight and not celibate. Weird.
He's like, I'm so proud to be the first gay non-celibate priest. I just sucked a dick. It's like, well, you didn't need to tell us.
That's awful.
I know, but it's all I'm thinking.
And then everyone's
about.
Like, amen.
Amen. And also with you.
And also with you. It's when you do the passing of the peace and you shake hands. And like,
ooh. Passing of the penis, am I right?
No, stop it. You're being a bad ally right now.
Openly gay, non-celibate priest is my new favorite SNL character.
Bill Hader would kill openly gay, non-celibate priest.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, so that's the Episcopal Church. So I thought that was interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of that.
You're welcome. I felt bad and I felt like I should learn a little something instead of just talking out of my butt. I have lyrics also.
Already?
I've been busy.
Wow. Me too.
Yeah.
So before you say your lyrics, I'll tell you what I've been busy doing.
Okay.
I made a band.
A band?
A whole band. I'm going to be using a Motown-style drum beat, like Motown era, 60s.
What does that mean?
So Motown was the record label that
in
was...
In Motortown, USA.
Well, Detroit. Yeah, yeah. Motor City. Not Motortown.
But it's Motown.
That sounds cooler than Mo City.
Mo City, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mo City Records. Anyway, Motown drum beat to give it that 60s happy, upbeat feel.
Which is what, though? What's the beat?
Oh, it's like... You know?
Welcome, like monsieur. Sit yourself down. I've got the best innkeeper in town.
Yeah, it's all related.
Yeah. It's just freaking Les Mis.
Well, if my mouth were drums and not making...
If your mouth were drums, not making go
pitches,
on.
Yeah. It wouldn't sound like... Doom, ding, ding, doom, ding. It would be like... Poof, kick, poof. Which sounds like Motown.
Sure, okay.
Anyway, there's that. There's bass. There's acoustic guitar.
Great.
And then there's harpsichord and mm-hmm. strings. And that's it.
How is writing for harpsichord different than writing for piano? Or can you kind of do the same thing?
You can basically do the same thing, especially today with just like harpsichord sounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, the physical like instrument of a harpsichord that was made back in Baroque times has a smaller keyboard, mm-hmm. so not a full 88 keys. It also doesn't have any way to sustain. So once you play a note, it strikes and you're done with it. You can't like use a sustain pedal to hold any notes longer than your fingers can hold them. So the technical aspects of playing the harpsichord is it's more difficult than piano to actually get the right phrasing going.
Oh, because so like, a bunch of sounds are interacting with each other.
Yeah, and if you like lift your finger off of a note too early, the sound will stop. So that's why you can be celebrated as a like Baroque harpsichord player because you can actually achieve the phrasing desired by like, you know, the way that your fingers move on the keys versus just using the sustain pedal on the piano. Yeah, I'm just going for something sort of like peppy, cheerful. And then once we get into the chorus, I want to have more sustained string lines to give it that majestic feel too.
Great. Well, I've written something that I hope is majestic.
Yeah.
No, it's very colloquial and poppy.
Okay.
It's a pretty like regular rhyme scheme and it's just very, I don't know, like easy and conversational and kind of shallow in a way, in the way that pop music is.
Sure.
So I think it feels, even though it's not like a love song, mm-hmm. I think it still feels kind of like 60s pop in the like surface floaty kind of like daydreamy way.
Daydreamy. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Let's do it.
When you need to know what's going on, can't stop the show when you finish a song. There's a book for you to help it come out right. You won't be lost. Yeah, you won't be scared. It's free of cost to be prepared. You'll know what's coming, when to sit or stand. Then the chorus. The ASB's the book for me, full of prayers and liturgies for praising God on feet, butt, or knees. Thanks be to ASB.
Oh, and I immediately have a title.
Feet, butt, or knees?
Yes. Feet, butt, or knees.
Yep.
I love that. Thanks be to ASB. The Anglican service book.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I think it like flows well.
So that's two verses and a chorus?
It is.
Nice.
And then we can repeat the chorus as many times as you like.
We'll see. We'll see how long we can hire these string players for.
That's true.
They get expensive.
Union players, man.
No. Spare no expense.
Mm-mm. Not for you, our loyal vegetarians. Speaking of loyal vegetarians, before we get to the song.
Yeah.
We had two of you. Amazing, wonderful people.
Maybe the most loyal vegetarians.
The most
that
loyal
week.
Vegetarians. The most shameless vegetarians, definitely. Thank you to Megan Hasty and Claire Dixon, who took up the challenge of singing the karaoke track for Manchester Surprise.
Yes.
Megan Hasty posted it in the Facebook group,
the video, yeah.
Song Salad Produce section. She used a bottle of Tylenol or something as her tambourine.
That's great.
She only dropped it once. It was really good. You can look on the post for the episode that week and she put it in the comments. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous. Thank you, Megan. And then Claire Dixon.
She did not have a tambourine, but she had an empty beer can and beer bottle caps and made a canbarine and sent us her own special karaoke rendition of Manchester Surprise using a kazoo.
What else? A kazoo.
So, We're going to play a little bit of Claire's track at the end of this episode. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, we are. So thank you to everyone. Thank you to everyone in the produce section. It's a really fun little treat to see that pop off every week. And if you're not there, join us.
Join us. Yes. Here is feet, butt, or knees.
A Baroque pop song.
About the Anglican service book.
By Shannon and Scott.
When you need to know what's going on, can't stop the show when you finish a song, there's a book for you to help it come out right. You won't be lost, yeah, you won't be scared. It's free of cost to be prepared. You'll know what's coming when to sit or stand. The ASB's the book for me, full of prayers and liturgies for praising God on feet but or knees. Thanks be to ASB.
Butter knees.
Thanks be for butter knees. Butter knees. I hardly know her knees.
Too far.
Oh, come on. If anyone went too far this episode, it was you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was you.
Sometimes I get in a mood and I just see how far we can take it.
You get in a mood?
Yeah.
A summer mood?
Summer mood. Summer mode, summer mood. Whatever you want. Tweet at us about your summer mode.
I thought you were going to say tweet at us about how we've gone too far.
Tweet at us where you think we've gone too far.
I'm not sure. I want to know.
Shut down.
Yeah. What's your summer mode, everybody?
I thought you were going to say, what's your threshold?
What's your threshold for being offended by something we've done?
Well, when we're not towing the line of trigger warnings, we like to thank our loyal listeners who follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. And who are members of our Facebook group, the Produce Section, and who donate to us on Patreon.
Yes, thank you so much. Krista Depps became a Patreon donor, and we very much appreciate it. Also, my mom became a Patreon donor.
Thank you, Sudeep.
Which was very nice of her. But thank you so much. It really does help us. It covers all of our hosting costs every month. It covers our website costs every year. It will help us become an incorporation.
Ding, ding, ding. News flash.
Yeah, we're going to make ourselves a business.
So if you have ideas for what we should name our corporation,
tweet
those
up
at us and put those in the produce section too.
Because we could be Song Salad LLC.
But that's so boring.
Here was my idea.
Yeah?
Thousand Island LLC.
Thousand Island is pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially if we end up buying an island.
Yes, exactly. Well, here's the thing, y'all. If we become incorporated, then the business can buy the island and none of us are personally liable if you go there and die.
Well, we can also open a bank of our own on the island and have our very own offshore bank accounts.
First Bank of Salad.
We'll have to come up with names for the island too, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we are getting way ahead of ourselves. Yeah. Thank you very much to JD for the salad spinner suggestion this week.
Jeffrey D writes on Twitter.
Indeed. If you have salad spinner suggestions, you can send them to us in email, songsaladpodcast@gmail.com, or you can just tweet them at us and we will take them from Twitter and put them in our Google Doc.
Our very long, plentiful Google Doc.
It is. We have so many. It's
our
great,
cornucopia,
guys.
Cornucopia of salad spinners.
Yes. We are also wishing a happy birthday to someone this week.
We are. We mentioned Claire Dixon earlier in the episode.
Yes.
And you will hear her kazoo and tambourine cover of Manchester Surprise in a moment.
Yes.
But first, we need to wish a very happy birthday to her brother, Ben.
Bin.
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 Heep-beep-dee-bean. Should we sing happy birthday?
Yes.
Everyone at home, sing along. One, two, three. Happy birthday to Bean. Happy birthday to Bean. Happy birthday, dear Bean. Get off the dick. Happy birthday to Bean. Get off the dick.
I hope that was what you wanted, Claire.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday, Ben. Thank you to everyone. Oh, and also, there's going to be a surprise in a couple weeks. We tweeted about this, but we have a listener who is making a music video out of one of our songs.
So pumped.
I don't want to spoil the surprise.
It's mostly going to be a surprise to us. We just know that it's happening. We don't know what it's going to include.
I know. I'm really excited. So we're going to sit on that for a little bit, but...
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're...
not celibate.
Finally! Hallelujah!
Do 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 do